Good morning. Good morning to each one. We are happy to have you with us here this morning at Central Church of Christ in Johnson City, Tennessee, for our Sunday morning worship service. We've got a good number here in the auditorium. We're glad for your presence. Any of you who are just coming back for the first time this morning, welcome back. We're really glad to have you. And of course, all those joining us on our streaming services, we're very glad to have you with us too. It's great to get together on Sunday mornings, coming out and lifting our voices in unison to worship God. And we're glad that you have made that priority this morning. As we get ready to enter into our worship service, consider these words from the Apostle Paul. These are found in Romans chapter 11. And I'm beginning in verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who became his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Now let's join together in worshiping our great God.
Let's stand, please, as we sing.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant, Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword. Still we are the
thank you. Before we go to our Father in prayer, we will sing, Lord, Take Control.
My heart.
Let us pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day that we can gather together as your children. We acknowledge you as being the great creator of all the universe, for being our rock and our redeemer. You are worthy of all praise and glory and honor. As your children gather together this day around the world, we ask your blessings upon us. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, to lay aside those troubles of our cares of our mind, that we can concentrate upon you and giving you honor and glory. We thank you for the wisdom that you have. You are perfect in all your attributes. In the wisdom of your church that gathers together, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your precious son that died for us. We thank you. We ask you to be with those of us who are hurting, those that are sick, those that are mourning. We ask you to continue to bless us in all that we do, that we may live for you, that we may be better servants for you. Go with us and guide us, forgive us, and increase our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before we have the scripture reading and the lesson, we will sing Ancient Words.
Give us strength, help us grow.
I invite you to read with me from the Word of God. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Ancient words. Don't you know this is a modern world? We don't want ancient, but if it's truth, we do. There's some truths that will never change. The fact that 2 + 2 = 4, we want the bank to understand that when it comes to our money. And the way the body works, we want our doctors to understand those truths. And even though they are ancient, they will save our souls if they come from the Word of God. And thank you, God, for giving us this blessing, this book that shows us the way home. What a blessing it is to be able to gather together and praise Him, honor His Son, Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful that you are here with us today. We have a very good number here. This is probably the best we've done so far. And we know there are more that will be coming out in time to come as more and more people feel confident and safe. And again, we want you to feel that way when you come here. We're doing all we can to keep our building a safe place to gather and worship for an hour. But we're glad you're with us. All you who are visiting with us today, we have at least two couples that I've met who are considering moving here to our area. One has already made the final arrangements. The other one's looking very seriously at it. Others I know are here, maybe from the community, but we're glad you're here. And if we can help in any way, please let us know. We'd be glad to do whatever we can. And all of you members that are here, it's good to see you. Some of you for the first time in a long time. And look at my face. You can see it now. I'm smiling because I'm glad that you're here. And it's great, isn't it, that even behind a mask, we can tell when somebody is smiling. Look at their eyes, and you know they're feeling good about being with the family. So let's praise God for that and give Him thanks. And all of you who are with us virtually, we are thankful that you are with us as well. We haven't forgotten you. We're not going to forget you. And we look forward to the day when you also can join us in person. And we know there's a few that probably won't happen, but you're with us now, and we're thankful that technology exists. Lord willing, we will meet again this evening at 6 o'clock to worship God, and because the weather is looking really nice, we're going to meet outside. We've done that several times, and today I think the temperature at 6 o'clock is supposed to be about 75, maybe a little bit of a breeze, but nothing major. Cloudy, yes, but that's not a problem. There's hardly any chance of rain. So come out and join us if you can. Worship from inside your vehicle if you feel that's best for you. Bring your chairs, bring your blankets, and let's just enjoy worshiping God in His cathedral, in His created universe. But we're glad you're with us today. Now let's get our Bibles out and turn to the Word of God and find there some things that are needed for our lives. Last year, we heard the announcement, which we felt sure was going to come, and that was that the 2020 Tokyo Olympics were going to be postponed. Now, for a lot of us, that was kind of a disappointment because we enjoy watching some of the events that are in the Olympics. But can you imagine? Can you imagine being one of those athletes who has trained all of their life to be an Olympian? And now to have it put off for a year, and for some of them, that may have been their only shot. And will they ever be able to hit that peak of performance again and compete on that level? And for some who have been injured since then, they won't get that chance and probably never will again. And so that idea of hope, their hopes, their dreams were crushed because of what happened. And it brings to mind that tagline from the long-running ABC Wide World of Sports. Some of you remember that on television. And it always opened with the tagline, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. The crushed dreams, the hopes that were dashed. All of us lost something in 2020, some much worse than others of us. And yet, we have this hope that maybe we can regather some of that. But for some, it was a loss of financial well-being. It was a loss of health. It was a loss of a loved one. And we just know it's been so hard for so many. But can we do better? Can we recover some of that? In 2021, we're focused on this theme of a time to build up. It's taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 3, a time to tear down and a time to build up. And that's what we're looking at in 2021. As we emerge from a very dark period of time, there are things that need to be rebuilt. And one of those is our hope. We're going to talk today about rebuilding our hope. Let's look at it from the Word of God. We'll talk first of all about the idea of when hope withers. When hope withers. And this idea of withering, think about a shrub or a tree that you've purchased at the nursery. And you look forward to seeing the bloom on it or the fruit that it bears. And you take it home, you plant it, and you're just excited about what's going to come as a result. And then it withers. For some reason, it didn't take root. The soil wasn't right or something. We don't know, but it withered and our hope died. In the larger sense, that may have been what happened to many in times past. It has happened to many in times past. And I want to share with you three examples from the Word of God where they say as much. Go with me, first of all, to Luke chapter 12. Let's look at that. Luke chapter 12. And here Jesus has been teaching the crowds, and a man comes up to him with a question, with a request. Listen to what he says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, we don't know what kind of inheritance it was, how big it was, but it represented wealth of some amount. And this fella thought, well, if I can ever get my hands on that, life will be better. But there's a problem. My brother won't divide the inheritance. Now, again, we don't know a lot of the details there, but what's Jesus going to do? Jesus declines the opportunity. He says, "Who made me to be an arbiter over you and your brother?" In other words, he's saying, that's not my purpose in life. And then he goes on to give this parable in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 16. Look at that with me. I hope you've got your Bible open. And we'll turn with me to these passages. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 16. Jesus told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" Now, there are two men in that passage that we just read that had their hopes built on material things. The one who came to Jesus and said, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance," and then this man in the parable, who may have been an actual man. But you see, both of them said, "If only I can get to that point where I have the money that comes in, I can just enjoy life, my life will be great." And yet their hopes were dashed, one by a belligerent brother, the other one by death, over which he had no control. And you see, in both cases, their hopes were dashed. Life took an unexpected turn. Let's next go to Lamentations in the Old Testament. The easiest way to find it is to find Jeremiah and then go to the end of Jeremiah, and then you're right there at the beginning of Lamentations. We're going to read from Lamentations 3, verses 16 through 18, and you know the scene here. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, is lamenting the destruction of the city of Jerusalem and the temple. And so now, listen to what he says about, how do you feel, Jeremiah? Everything's going to be okay, right? That's not at all what he's saying here, at least initially. Lamentations 3, beginning in verse 20. He says this, "My soul can..." I'm jumping ahead. 16 through 18. Lamentations 3, 16 through 18. "He has made my teeth grind on gravel." And that's kind of like somebody running their fingernails on the chalkboard, isn't it? To just think about that kind of situation. "He has made my teeth grind on gravel, made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished, so has my hope from the Lord." That's a bad place to be. That's a very dark place to be. He says, "I look around and I see nothing but rubble. I see buildings that have been torn down to the very base. I've seen things that have been burned to the ground. I see maybe bodies that have still not been buried. I have no hope." And again, you see, that's how people can get when life takes an unexpected turn. Our hope is just crushed. Will it ever be restored? And then one other example is found in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and we're only going to look at verse 21. This is Jesus traveling on the road to Emmaus, and he encounters a couple of other travelers. And as they walk together, they begin talking. He can tell they are very sad. And so Jesus asks, why are you so sad? And they don't recognize Jesus, even though they are his disciples. And so one of them says this, among other things, Luke 24, verse 21, "But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened." And did you catch that tense of the word hope? It is past tense, past perfect, I suppose. But the idea is, it's gone. We thought he was the one that was going to restore Israel, but apparently not, because they killed him. He's been in the tomb now for 3 days. And you can understand why they were so sad, so cast down. Their hope had been crushed. And we understand that to some extent, some more than others. Some have lost great things, others minimally. But we know what it feels like to lose hope. There was a story in the news last week about a couple in Michigan, not an elderly couple either, someone still working. I don't know exactly their ages. But it talked about how they had lost their life savings to a phone scam. And then, you know, you think, wow, people ought to be onto that. But these people that are scamming, they come up with some really clever schemes. And this particular one was saying your license is going to be revoked. You won't be able to do your work unless you take out a bond. And that will cover it. Otherwise, we're going to have to come and arrest you because it looks like you've been laundering money. And the person on the other end of the phone said, oh no, I'll put up the bond. What do I need to do? And by the time the spouse found out, the money was gone, could not be recovered. And can you imagine, again, can you imagine looking at your bank account statement and it sits at zero? What you have been expecting to be your retirement, your golden years. And there's no gold in the account anymore. That's the kind of world we live in. There's lots of disappointments. There's lots of heartaches. Hope can easily be dashed. But let's talk now about rebuilding our hope. Can it be done? And the good news is, of course, we're talking about God and Jesus Christ. We can rebuild our hope. But first, I'm going to take you back to your childhood. I want to take you back to a story that you heard as a child, and maybe you read it to your children and your grandchildren. It's about the three little pigs. And you remember what happened there. Each of them built their own house. Don't ask me, it's a fairy tale, so they can build houses, I guess. One of them made their house out of sticks, the other one out of straw. And then there was one smart one that built his house out of bricks. And the big bad wolf comes along, he huffs and he buffs, and he blows down the houses made of straw and of sticks, but not so with a house made of bricks. Now, I don't think it goes on to tell us about what happens later, but I can imagine the other two that lost their homes rebuilt, don't you think? Do you think they learned something from their experience? Do you think they went back to straw and sticks for their home building material? I doubt it. Not if they're intelligent, and they say pigs are pretty intelligent. I suspect they learned, and they said, no, no, we're going to build with the best. Our hope will be built with the best. That's where we're at now. We're on the other side of a major storm that swept through the world. Are we going to learn anything from it? Are we going to learn anything about rebuilding our hope? Where do we put our hope? Let's go back to Lamentations again. Lamentations chapter 3, this is soon after what we read earlier. Lamentations 3, we're going to read verses 20 through 24, and here we have the key to rebuilding hope. In fact, it says as much. Lamentations 3, beginning in verse 20. Now, he had just said in verse 18, my endurance has perished, so is my hope from the Lord. My hope is gone. But now in verse 20, my soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. I remember something, and that gives me hope. Well, what is that? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. There's the key to rebuilding our hope. Now, you don't want to go on throughout life without hope. That's just a miserable kind of existence. But you can have hope again, even after the turmoil of what we've been through, if you place it in God. Therefore, I will hope in him, because his love never ends. His mercies are new every morning. It's still there. Even through the dark night, it is still there. Now back to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, this is after Jesus told the parable of the rich fool, the man that put all of his trust in money and things. And now Jesus makes this application to all of us. He says, fear not, little flock. We know something about fear, don't we? We've been there. But he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. In other words, don't put your trust in things. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So can we have hope again? Yes, if we put it in the right place. Now, you can continue to put your hope in things. Some are going to do that, even though it has been made abundantly clear things can vanish in a hurry. Life can take some very unexpected turns. But if you really want to rebuild your house with bricks instead of straw or sticks, you're going to turn to God. And you're going to say, there's where my hope is. My heart will be in heaven with all of the treasures that are there. That's how I'm going to rebuild my trust and my hope. And didn't Peter say essentially that, the passage that Jim read for us earlier? Let's look again at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. And listen to the similarity to what Jesus said in the passage we just read. 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 3. Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope." He's caused us to be born again to a living hope. It's not a dead hope. It is alive. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And what is that hope made up of? To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And while Peter didn't use the exact same words, the concept is the same. Our hope is in heaven, because there the treasures do not fade. They're not defiled. Moths don't get in and eat up those expensive garments that we put a lot of hope in. Thieves do not break in and steal. Nobody can scam us out of that reward unless we turn away from the truth. In other words, we can have a living hope. And notice also, he goes on to say there at the end of verse 4, it is kept in heaven for you. The word kept there is a word that was often used of military imagery. It's guarded. There are sentries on duty. They're not going to let anybody get in and take away what belongs to you in heaven. But it's not just the treasure that's being guarded. Look again at verse 5. Who by God's power is kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So not only is my treasure being guarded, I'm being guarded if I continue in the faith, if I continue following what the Lord has given me in his word. That's security. That tells me it's not like life where unexpected things come up and wow, what I had really hoped to have, it's been snatched away from me. I don't have it anymore. That's not going to be true with heaven. It's kept in heaven for us. You who are guarded by your faith for salvation. What a wonderful God. What an amazing God we serve. Douglas Moo, in commenting on this particular passage, said this inheritance is guarded in heaven, and as such, it is untouched by troubles in this life. So no matter what we go through here, that treasure is being guarded for us there. I'm going to build my house with bricks. And it's like Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 describes hope. Listen to this analogy. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. So hope, he says, is like an anchor of the soul. I've not had a lot to do with boats in my life, but those of you that have, you know the importance of having an anchor. If you want to settle in one place and not be moved by the waves or the wind, you need to have a good anchor that will grip onto something underneath and hold you in place. Hope will do that for us. No matter what we go through on this earth, in this life, hope in the right place will keep us where we need to be, and we will not be moved away from God. It's so important that we rebuild our hope, but it's most important that we rebuild it in the way God recommends. One other passage I want to point out is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And again, remember those three little pigs and ask, did those two learn from their experience? But more importantly, will we learn? Will we learn? Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And that's where we're at right now. We have to ask, where am I looking for life? Where do I set my hopes? And sure, we still hope to have nice things in this life. We still hope to be able to retire one day and do this or that. But our real hope is up there in heaven. That's what really drives us. And if that be the case, then it's not going to matter so much what happens on this earth, because I have something that will be there whenever I leave this earth. No doubt about it. God has guaranteed it. Now, Paul began that passage by saying, if you've been raised with Christ. Now, if you go back to chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, he's talking about baptism, in which we have been buried with Christ and then raised with him to a new life. And that's what we need to look at this morning. Are you there? Have you done that with Christ? Do you have that living hope that Peter talked about, because you died to sin and you laid down in the grave by your faith in him? You believe that he is the Son of God and you're ready to turn away from sins. That's why you died to sin. And now that you've been buried with him, you'll be raised up to a new life. And there may be some this morning among us in the building. There may be others watching or listening who now realize, I need that, and we'd love to help you. Let us know if you're not here in the building. Send a message to us, and we'll wait for you. Or we'll try to make arrangements for you. And if you're here, you're so close. You are so close. Let's do it. Let's help you be ushered into the kingdom of God. And if you've done that and your hope has been somewhere else, don't you see how futile it is? Did you learn this past year that life is very uncertain? And so now it's time to come home, repenting of sins and praying for forgiveness. And we'll pray with you, we'll encourage you, whatever we can do. We're family. How can we help? Let us know as we stand and sing.
There's life for another breath of sin.
Be seated, please. This time we will sing Ivory Palaces, and then we will share the Lord's Supper together.
As we come to this portion of the worship, I was reminded this morning as I prepared I wanted to read a scripture. It's actually a scripture that Tim went over a while back, but it's always been important to me to read it at a time of the Lord's Supper, and it's from the prophecy of David in Psalms 22. I'll read it accurately. You're welcome to read from your own Bibles, but I'm going to read from the New King James Version, so you may sit and listen if you like. Psalms 22, I'm going to read a portion of it. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you, they trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, "He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth and from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me. For trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan, and encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint, and my heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. They count all my bones. I can count all of my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. As we think about these words and take the Lord's Supper, let's think about Christ's death for us, that we all have opportunity to commune with him today, to have his church, to enjoy this fellowship, but more importantly, partake of his body and of his blood. You may peel back the top layer of your communion as we give thanks for the bread. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this Lord's Day, this opportunity we have on the first day of the week to come together and partake of the Lord's Supper. We are thankful for this bread, which is in representation of Christ's body, which hung on the cross and died for each of us, that we might have hope through his resurrection of eternal life. Please bless those that partake of this bread at this time, that we may do so in a manner well-pleasing in thy sight. In Christ's name, amen. Let's pray for the cup. Our Heavenly Father, in like manner, we come to you thanking you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for each one of us for the remission of our sins and our hope of eternal life. We're thankful for this blood that continues to cover us and our sins for today, as long as we openly worship you with a penitent heart and do the very best that we can. Our Heavenly Father, we want to pray for this cup, that we also partake of it in a manner to be well pleased in thy sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And finally, as Christians today, we have an opportunity to give back a portion that God has given to us, to be thankful for the things that we have, but also to further the work of His kingdom and bring other lost souls to Christ. Let's pray for that opportunity we have today to give. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You thanking You for all the things that You've given us, whether they be material blessings, necessities of life, most of all for the gift of Christ, so that we might have hope of eternal life. We're thankful for the jobs that we have. We're thankful for the incomes that we have. We're thankful for all the things that You've given us to survive, all of the necessities in life. And Heavenly Father, we pray that today we give back a portion to You as we care and as we have in abundance of the things that we need. We pray that we give with a hopeful heart, that those that hear Your word might be saved and that we might have a hand in that. For we know that it's Your word that saves and not ours. We pray for this blessing in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Our final hymn this morning will be "There is a Redeemer." Would you stand, please, as we sing this hymn? And after this hymn, we will pray and hear any announcements that there are to be made.
Let's close with a scripture, a prayer, and then a few announcements. This comes from Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for this time together, these opportunities to worship you. May we never take them lightly, but always strive to participate in them. We know the end is coming for each one of us. We just don't know when. Help us to be ever faithful to you day by day in this life's journey. Be with us on this journey. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.